Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We are sponsored this Tuesday morning in Kale and Company by Bounce Back Physical Therapy. Let's take you to Bucks County. We have new details on what appears to be a brutal murder of an elderly suburban woman. Police are saying the suspect in custody is her own adult son, who police say confessed to killing his mom in Bucks County. That was while being arrested for assaulting an officer, allegedly, in Washington, D.C. The victim, identified as 82-year-old Dolores Ingram, found dead inside a condo on Beacon Hill Drive. This is the Holland section of Northampton Township. So here's what went down. According to police, 49-year-old William Ingram, the victim's son, arrested by the police department in D.C. the same day as the homicide, Sunday. He's accused of assaulting a police officer, damaging a police vehicle with a skateboard before his arrest, 49 years old. According to the court documents, after he was taken into custody, this is in D.C., that's when he, according to investigators, said, somebody should check on my mom, and that's back at the house at in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And that is where they did the wellness check and found 82-year-old Dolores Ingram in a bloody, you know, pool of her own blood, and just a tragic situation here. Neighbors shocked. Quiet, beautiful part of Bucks County. We're expecting an autopsy today. We're also expecting the DA, other officials, to hold a news conference sometime this morning to give us new details.
So he kills his mom and then tells the police that somebody should check on her.
And goes to D.C.
Yeah. Kills his mom, assaults a cop, and he's a skateboarder. Okay.
49 years old, still living with mom. So
they should bludgeon him with the skateboard in the joint.
If he's guilty.
This is all alleged.
By the way, this is another case, because I know we didn't get to that Michigan story yesterday.
Yeah.
Another case of some 40-some-year-old person still living at home with mommy and daddy that ends up, you know, either killing other people or injuring other people or killing their parents. Like, this is if your child is 35 to 40 years old and still living at home, call the police.
Yes. What's the cutoff limit? You know, based on, like, you know, I get it, you know, Bidenomics. Yeah, you might get out of college, you're in debt. What do you say, like 24, 25? You got to get the hell out?
30.
But you're paying rent at 24 or 25, by the way. You're not staying for free.
Oh, this is just, oh, man.
Yeah, my daughters better be gone the
18.
Day they turn 18.
Nobody's
out in Z.
Nobody's out at 18 anymore.
I know.
I got news for you.
I'm going to hit him with an invoice too on the way out.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Mr. Tough Talk.
Here's
you know where his girls are. You know where Nick Cale's twin daughters are. Right here on the pinky of the daughters.
I'll be seeing them tonight. I'm such a tough guy.
Yeah, Mr. Tough Guy. Oh, be a little baby girl. What can I get you? Right. Give me a break. We have George Norcross.
Uh-oh.
This is a New Jersey power broker, as everybody calls him, a Democrat. George E. Norcross, now charged, Norcross III, I should say, charged yesterday with racketeering and other crimes in connection with a waterfront redevelopment and the use of government-issued tax credits.
Old RICO charge. You can charge one, you can charge them all.
This is New Jersey Attorney General Matt. Remember Matt Platkin?
Yeah.
Remember him during he was a very loyal individual to then-Governor Phil Murphy during the, remember the Katie Brennan hearings?
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
And Matt was one of those accused of covering things up that he knew she had been sexually abused and that sort of thing. Well, now he's the Attorney General, Matt Platkin, and in Trenton held this big news conference accusing Norcross and five others. And obviously Norcross, a big name. He's a Democrat, but he is a big name in New Jersey, as you know, and in this area, not just as the former DNC Democratic National Committee member, one time head of the Camden County Democrat Party, but also he was the one who backed then Governor Chris Christie, who ran against, right? Who ran Chris Christie. He backed him, worked with him, Republican.
Sloppy Chris Christie.
So I would think, just, you know, think about that. And he also had backed others who challenged Murphy. So we'll talk about that moving forward. Five alleged co-conspirators indicted here. Attorney General Matt Platkin unveiling the big indictments, which named Norcross's brother Philip, their longtime lawyer William Tambusi, former Camden Mayor Dana Redd, all as co-defendants. This stems from 2012-2013, Norcross sought to redevelop the waterfront in Camden. And obviously Camden, beautiful spot overlooking Philadelphia at that point, had the highest crime rates in the nation, not so much anymore. But the 111-page indictment unsealed yesterday, alleging that he threatened a developer who would not relinquish his rights to waterfront property, and that Norcross allegedly used political influence to orchestrate all the tax incentives to be enacted that would, of course, benefit organizations that he controls.
I wonder if he had a brunch recently with a Bob Menendez by chance. Just, you know, thoughts bouncing around in my head here.
So a lot of Jersey politics here. So we will obviously we'll go through this one. Let's talk about what else is going on as we think about our region. A lot happening with 70 flat. Sherelle Parker, our mayor, busy yesterday announcing the 75 new police recruits, now sworn in officially as Philadelphia police officer. They graduated as the Philadelphia Police Department continues a major push in recruitment. Currently, the department still a little over 1,000 officers short of approved staffing levels. We've talked a lot about this. I would say, you know, many people yesterday were saying the defund the police movement is dead in Philadelphia, and this is a great sign for that, that we have this graduating class. They're continuing to recruit, you know, hopefully recruit more, but the department forecasts 350 hires this year before the year is done. And by the way, next week they start searching for new recruits to sign up.
Well, that, if my math is correct, by the year 2029, they'll be caught back up, assuming people don't leave.
And by the way, this week, that entire new class of law enforcement officers here in Philadelphia, they all go to Kensington. So this is a new type of strategy where everybody goes to Kensington, basically flooding Kensington with law enforcement.
We call that throwing you into the deep end on day one.
That's true.
Learn how to swim, bubby.
Yeah. Speaking of which, thankfully, the Philadelphia pools are open this week, started yesterday. So thank goodness for that with the heat. We got to talk about Bensalem Township voting in Bucks County to merge six of their legacy volunteer fire companies into one department. Officials are saying this will help with personnel issues and help save lives in cases of emergency with quicker response times. That's up for debate in Bucks County. Many residents looking at that one, but that's Bensalem Township. And then as far as Philadelphia leaders gathering last night to swear in the city's newest fire commissioner. So Mayor Parker talking about her new choice to appoint Jeffrey Thompson to that position. Mayor Parker talking about Thompson, who succeeds acting commissioner Craig Murphy, who recently, of course, retired. So we have a new commish here in Philadelphia. Before I talk about the heat, let's talk about the heat is on with our Philadelphia Phillies.
By the way, I gave you Schwarber yesterday an anytime home run.
You did.
So I got the U.S. Open, Schwarber.
Yeah.
I'll give you the Powerball numbers in a couple of days, and also give you the November 5th election in due time.
Kyle Schwarber, homer twice. Trey Turner had two hits in his return to the lineup. Philadelphia Phillies defeated Padres 9-2 last night.
I mean, think about that. 37 games, 38 games he missed, comes back like it's just like getting back on a bike. Yep. Just get right back on, start pedaling.
Yep. A nice standing ovation.
Yeah.
It was nice. Yeah, nice welcome back.
You know, we've done a nice little 360 in the last calendar year as a city with our reputation. The way they handled Trey last year and, you know, didn't do the typical booing and coddled him and gave him positive reinforcement. He comes back and gets two hits.
Bryce Harper, Nick Cassianos, Brandon Marsh also had two hits apiece for the Phils. Cassianos, by the way, hit a pair of doubles. Harper and Marsh each had one. I mean, they were just red hot. Good to be back home, and talked about London and felt like they'd been on the road for months. So I just think it was one of those things where they just were like, woohoo, we're home.
Yeah, Padres are a spineless organization, by the way. All the talented players they have, and they're under 500.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, we can boo them. 6:40 tonight. It's going to be hot. Let's talk about the forecast. Excessive heat warnings coming. Heat indices. We're talking about setting new records and all this good stuff. As the National Weather Service seriously alerts, we're under code red.
Code red
in Philadelphia. Code red.
Great week. Great week to be carrying around couches.
Yeah. Ouch.
So what's your plan?
Not to die.
Stop.
Are you flying down there?
Flying down tonight and then driving up a big truck on Friday after 2 days of packing and then unloading and dumping it into a storage unit and then taking it out of a unit and putting it in the new place. I'll see you guys in September. This will be me in a couple of nights.
Good night, everybody.
Sorry.
My condolences.
Thank you.
Just sounds miserable.
It does.
But what? You know what? You'll feel like the Phillies when you finally get, you'll be like, woohoo, we're home. Like, I'm so glad to be home. You'll feel good in about a week.
What's the temperature? Like, I know it's hot here, but what's the temperature in Nashville right now?
It's a good question. Not sure. I haven't looked. I would assume if the Southeast is getting a heat wave as well, probably be 5 degrees hotter.
Mm.
Oof. Yeah, nice.
101, baby.
Sweet. One move from Nashville away from goal weight.
Wait, hang on. So let's see. We have 88 Wednesday, 92 Thursday, 95 Friday, 94 Saturday.
That's Nashville?
Yep.
We're hotter than Nashville.
We are hotter than Nashville.
My timing is impeccable.
by 2 degrees.
In many aspects.
So today and tomorrow, the temperature says in Philadelphia 91.
Yep.
It won't feel like 91 with the heat indices that we talk about. Thursday 93, Friday 96. Saturday 96, Sunday 94.
Good God.
Finally, Greg Stocker doing the rain dance finally gets a little rain next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Next Monday. God, okay.
No rain till next Monday.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
Turned my sprinklers on this morning before I left.
Yeah. Until they say, no more water in your yard. Turn it off.
But it's going to feel like 97 today. Excessive heat watch, dangerously hot conditions, heat index values up to 104 possible. So today I don't even think we're breaking the records. I think today the record was actually higher than it will be technically back in 1957.
Oh, that's good.
So at least we got that going for us, which is nice. Bounce Back Physical Therapy. Pain doesn't care about your age, gender, or sport. But Bounce Back does. At Bounce Back Physical Therapy in Wayne, Pennsylvania, they specialize in sports injuries and get you feeling better in as few as 3 visits. Covered by most insurance plans, just visit bouncebackpt.com, bouncebackpt.com. Book an appointment today. Do it for you. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:17 on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it is brought to you by Wawa. The Big Take: should he stay or should he go? We all know why Democrats and the Biden administration are giving America a debate so early on June 27th with no audience, muted microphones, and a home field advantage on CNN. It's a test. If the big guy can show that he's an IQ point above a radish in a salad, maybe the left and the liberal power brokers ride their shot horse to the finish line. If he fails to win the race against Trump before the American public in 9 days, they put him out to pasture and they go to the bullpen. Either way, they'll have about a month and a half to make the most important decision they've ever had to make. From the Russia hoax to the laptop from hell to 4 indictments, Democrats have thrown every single resource, legal and illegal, ethical and unethical, in the direction of stopping their biggest fear, Donald Trump. In their world, they cannot fail after almost 9 years of sabotage. The problem, much like with a lot of their policies, is they don't have a surefire solution. From decoy candidacies to secret plans to swap to family and health concerns to voter turnout, the drama and the pressure swirling the Biden campaign is taking twists and turns every single day. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, indicted 4 times, is currently dealing with who to select for vice president. It's almost as if the tables have been reversed when it pertains to who should be feeling the weight of the world. The National Review with this headline, quote, Joe Biden's decoy presidential candidacy. Charles Cook writes the following, quote, Biden is operating as a stand-in, a widget, or a MacGuffin, whose primary purpose is simply to make it to November 5th of this year without expiring. Per recent polling, 62% of voters think that if Biden gets reelected, he will die in office, with 86% saying he is too old to run. Cook goes on to write that Biden will be replaced upon being reelected. But if not his health, could it be his family that forces him to leave? Axios with this headline, Biden backstory runs darkened by family trauma and addiction. Alex Thompson writes, quote, the recent courtroom revelations about the turmoil in Joe Biden's family have left some of his aides torn about whether he should have run for president at all. And when you look at the polls, especially with the core base Democrats have always enjoyed, it's a completely valid question. I want you to listen and watch this clip of CNN's Harry Enten yesterday on Monday, flummoxed over Donald Trump's polling and his support with black voters. This is part one. Listen and watch.
I keep looking for this to change, to go back to a historical norm, and it simply put, has not yet. So this is the margin, or Biden and Trump among black voters, compare where we were at this point in 2020, compare where we are now. You know, at this point, look at this. In 2020, Joe Biden was getting 86% of the African-American vote. Look at where it is now. It's 70%. That's a 16-point drop, John. And more than that, it's not just that Joe Biden is losing ground, it's that Donald Trump is gaining ground. You go from 7%, single digits at this point in 2020, to now 21%. And again, John, I keep looking for signs that this is going to go back to normal, and I don't see it yet in the polling. If anything, right now, we're careening towards a historic performance for Republican presidential candidate, the likes of which we have not seen in six decades.
And when you...
21%. If true, right on the money with my prediction. I've said for a while on this show that I think it'll be roughly 1 in 5 black voters, right around 20%. But let's go deeper into the shocking results. Here's part two of Harry Enten on CNN. Listen and watch.
Makeup of that number.
This is where we get very interesting. So I decided to dive deeper into the crosstabs, figure out where is it that Joe Biden is truly struggling among black voters. All right, so this is black voters, Biden versus Trump margin. Look at black voters age 50 and older, and you'll see, look, Joe Biden was leading amongst this group at this point by 83 points back in 2020. Now it's 74 points. So yeah, a slight decline in that margin, but nothing out of this world. Look at black voters under the age of 50. Holy cow, folks. Holy cow. Look at this. Joe Biden was up by 80 points among this group back at this point in 2020. Look at where that margin has careened down towards. It's now just, get this, 37 points. That lead has dropped by more than half, Mr. Berman. Home. I just never seen anything like this. I'm like speechless, because you always look at history and you go, okay, this is a historic moment. If this polling is anywhere near correct, we are looking at a historic moment right now where black voters under the age of 50, which have historically been such a big part of the Democratic coalition, are leaving it in droves.
Young black voters do not connect with Joe Biden, in my personal opinion. And I'd love to see those numbers broken down even further with young black voters in their 20s, their 30s, and their 40s, which brings us to our next story. The Daily Mail with this headline, quote, secret Democrat plan to replace Biden has been revealed. How Clinton, Obama, Pelosi, and Schumer would topple the aging president and when they would do it. Here's an excerpt, quote, but it seems no matter how much cold water the Biden campaign or Democratic Party throw on this raging fire of speculation, Americans will not be put off of the great Joe Biden replacement theory. It's the idea that somehow, some way, the president will be swapped out as the Democratic Party's candidate ahead of the 2024 election. Quote, dropping out would be a big risk, but there's some threshold below which continuing to run is a bigger risk. Polling guru Nate Silver wrote on social media, are we there yet? I don't know, but it's more than fair to ask. Former Clinton advisor and polling expert Mark Penn suggested that the CNN debate will be Biden's last chance to reassure voters that he is fit for the job. Now the Daily Mail has learned that if Joe stumbles in that first face-off with Trump, or if his polling numbers keep falling, it'll take a united front of the liberal elites to take and make Joe throw in the towel. The only people who could force him out would be Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. One Democratic strategist telling the Daily Mail, quote, it would have to be the four of them collectively, and the process would be high risk. One consultant theatrically described the difficulty level of replacing their candidate as similar to trying to turn that doomed container ship that careened into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore in May. That sad story ended with a total collapse and six deaths. But other party insiders concede that the candidate swap could work if everything was carefully planned and executed. Political columnist Joe Klein theorized in a recent newsletter that if Biden were to stand down, a vigorous young candidate, don't ask me who, could win over the country with a single convention speech in August. In Klein's scenario, the Democratic Party savior would deliver an Obama-esque inspirational speech akin to Barack's famous 2004 Democratic Convention address that would quickly bring together disaffected Democrats and moderate independents. However, there's another potential complication. As the recognized leader of the Democratic Party, a stubborn Joe Biden could refuse to step down and fight on to Election Day, even as the party grows more exasperated with his performance. Biden is fiercely proud of his first-term accomplishments, which he dubiously boasts are more significant than any other modern president's triumphs. Though, to be fair, Biden was the one who beat Trump in 2020. Daily Mail continues by saying, additionally, while Biden respects former House Speaker Pelosi, Bill Clinton, and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, there's a growing resentment of Obama, and it has become painfully clear. Another Democratic political insider believes that Harris, that's Kamala, has failed so badly as vice president that she has made it nearly impossible for Biden to step aside, because the party would then have to contend with progressive blowback over passing over the potential first black woman president. But if not Harris, then who? End quote. One of the things as clear as day, you have one scenario where Joe makes it and then steps aside, or he gets swapped out in August. One of two things bound to happen. Either Joe is going to stumble and then he gets switched out, or the Dems continue their elder abuse through November 5th, and then they make a 2025 swap at some point in year number one of term number two. And then Joe says, look, I did what I said I would do. I'd beat Donald Trump again. And then he exits to spend time with his family, and he claims, America is in good hands. I've done my work. I can rest easy. But make no mistake about it, the pressure is on right now for Democrats. After 9 years of going after Trump, they can't make a mistake with who the nominee will be. And it's only going to intensify if the big guy freezes up again or crashes and burns in 9 days. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by Wawa. Summertime is here, and so is Hoagie Fest. Did you guys know Hoagie Fest started yesterday? Yeah, that's why Schwarber went deep. Get $5 shorties and $6 classics, always built to order with meats, cheeses, and veggies that you love. Get your favorite hot or cold hoagie, or try something new only at Wawa, because Hoagie Fest is here. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210 WPHT, and of course let it rip in the Kale & Company comment community on YouTube. The New York Times with a pro-Trump column, yet the Federalist bashes Republicans. We'll get to those stories as we continue. 6 o'clock hour on Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Got to talk about summer kicking off road trip season for so many of us. But do you really know if your vehicle is road trip ready? My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles are going to help you make sure you and your family are safe on the roads this summer. The service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle your regular maintenance needs, but also diagnose possible issues before they occur. Just schedule a service appointment online today. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for that dealer nearest you across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
The This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
If you register right now at gregsdoctorsucks.com to ride with Team Kale and Company, you will get this bike jersey.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is not cheap.
No.
For free.
No. Very sharp looking. Yeah. Very impressed. Shout out to David Gelman Law, GelmanLawFirm.com for all of your criminal defense or personal injury needs. 855-839-1210. All right. Dawn, are you buying what I was selling, or at least what I was relaying in the big take? I mean, Harry Enten, his head almost exploded three times on CNN yesterday. He couldn't believe the support that Trump was receiving, a six-decade high. And then also, the Daily Mail, which I think Daily Mail is owned by the New York Post, if I recall correctly.
Yeah,
yes.
Murdoch.
Okay. So now it's this secret plan, and I really don't think there's much real groundbreaking revelations in there. But do you think, here's the question, because we've talked in the past, can they get Joe to step aside? Can Jill do it? And we've said no. But could the quartet of power players of Barack Obama, noticeably Bill Clinton, not Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi, could the four of them create a sales pitch to Joe that he would actually buy and step down? Or is stubborn old Joe Biden just going to keep riding until the wheels fall off?
I still contend this is why they want him to do the June debate. It gives them an out if it's that horrendous.
And it kind of gives them like a dress rehearsal, right? Like this is Saturday Night Live at 10 something.
How bad
When they do the dry run before they go live at 11:29 on Channel 10. And you kind of get the hiccups and the mistakes out of the way. Maybe a skit didn't resonate. Maybe there's some changes to the script, so to speak, or certain bits that are going to be disregarded for the final edition. So if Joe crashes and burns, like there's no doubt about it, they'll have 6 weeks. Now, I thought it was interesting that some of those pollsters in there and some of those Democratic strategists did not offer a viable solution should the swap occur. And I think that's the problem here. They know, I think, more than likely that they would really like to get rid of Joe. But they don't have a lock, stop, surefire, no doubt about it guarantee. You can't do Kamala. Michelle wants no part of it. People are fleeing California in droves. Gavin Newsom could be a difficult sell. I don't know. Maybe Gavin Newsom would beat Trump. Maybe anybody they insert would beat Trump, because we do know that there's this double hater contingency out there that is, you know, screaming and desperate for a third option. And they know that Bobby Kennedy's not that guy. Maybe they could just insert anybody and it would work. But I think behind closed doors, if they're having a legit conversation around a conference table, They don't have a viable option. I mean, you're going to give me Gretchen Whitmer? Yeah, I mean, Shapiro, Fetterman? I mean, you go down the list of names that we talk about in Democrat politics. I don't see the next Barack Obama left-wing savior coming down the aisle anytime soon. Is there anybody out there that I'm missing that you think might be A, willing, and B, sellable, that would take it and win?
Well, we talked about, wasn't it USA Today was among the publications that put Governor Josh Shapiro's name
first
on the list.
I can see it, but not in 2024. I could see it in 2028. Would not surprise me in the least if we had, I think there's one of two scenarios in 2028, and I know we're not even through 2024 yet. You could see Gavin Newsom versus Ron DeSantis, which almost seems too obvious, almost seems too easy to say that will be the race. I mean, I could see Shapiro against Glenn Youngkin. I told you last week, I think you might have been out on the show where we did the Glenn Youngkin conversation as far as him possibly being a vice president for Trump. That was on Friday. And apparently that speculation is out there after they had a meeting that Glenn Youngkin could be the guy, which if you're a J.D. Vance guy and you're a big fan of the youngster from Ohio who's basically my age, 40 years old, I think a lot of people were a little ticked off that I threw out Glenn Youngkin as a name for 2028 and for 2024 as vice president. But I think Glenn Youngkin, especially if those polls are accurate in Virginia, you know, we talk about certain states being attainable for Trump beyond the seven swing states. You know, Trump has talked about Minnesota. He's talked about Virginia. If you buy the polls, Trump and Biden are pretty much deadlocked in Virginia. So that's another name to keep in mind as we start floating out all these names.
I don't see Glenn Youngkin.
You don't like him, or you just don't see it happening?
No, I just don't see that one.
Okay.
I think out of, even though my heart is with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, as you know, but I think out of the top possibles, I think it's Marco Rubio.
Rubio.
That's my
wow.
My newest.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. My newest, because
I could see it. I really could.
And yes, I'm going to go there. It's a Gemini thing. They're both Geminis, which Geminis always are magnets to each other. But in a serious note.
So which one would then declare residency in another state?
Marco.
Yeah, it's got to be Rubio.
Where's he going to?
I don't know.
Where's
it doesn't
he
matter.
To?
Just find a house.
Okay.
Who cares? Find a townhouse. If Nick Cale can do it in 6 weeks, Rubio can do it.
Little Marco is going to borrow your little truck.
Listen, I hate to burst everybody's bubble here, because I know this is fun fodder for June 18th when there's not, the storylines are a little slim, you know, with these two candidates. But it's not Joe Biden will be the candidate. He is the candidate.
Yeah.
The end.
Like you're, that, so you're
there's
still,
nothing. No, there's no plot to get him out.
But you're
there's
still no, of you're still of the belief that he'll be swapped after he potentially wins early on.
If he wins, I do believe he'll probably only serve maybe a year.
Okay.
But I just think that's going to be an age thing. I think his age is going to be too. But it's just this whole notion that they're trying to get Biden out of the debate, and they're trying to get Biden out of the race. They're not. They're it's a ride or die.
So then, what
literally?
Yes, ride the horse until either you fall off or he just breaks a leg and you got to put him down, like at the Kentucky Derby. So then, what is the motivation behind June 27th? Because this is historic. We've never seen a debate this early. It's either they either need to have time to find their replacement if he fails in the debate, or they feel so desperate to get him out there to stop the narrative of he's too old and he's eroding before our very eyes. There's only one of two motivations for the left to do something so historic premature.
To be honest with you, I think it's because of early voting, and I think it's because of mail-in ballots. States are going to start voting in September. So
September 16th.
So yeah. I think if you wait until
November 5th,
September, October, which historically has been the months of debates, it's too late by then because people are voting. So I think they're trying to get it out of the way because they know people are voting earlier.
Yeah. Could very well be the idea.
Of course, it's the idea.
And by the way, start taking advantage of mail-in ballots and mail-in voting. 855-839-1210. Kind of an interesting story here. Actually, we won't have time for it. We'll get to it as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. The New York Times, with an interesting column on Republicans and Democrats trading places on turnout. We talked a little bit yesterday about party realignment. I want to get to this New York Times article because it talks about a lot of what Republicans are doing and how this is actually a plus or a net positive for Trump, which is a theory I've had for a while. But then also, one conservative columnist for The Federalist gives a dire warning to Republicans to ignore the polls. We're going to get to this on the other side as well. Nick, Dawn, and Greg. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Got some numbers here from Scott Pressler. I want to give these. We won't have time to get to these two articles from The Federalist or The Times. We'll do that when we kick off hour number two. But I do think this was pretty interesting yesterday, and it goes to show you kind of what's happening here in Pennsylvania. And there's probably no more of an important state this fall, or I should say this, this election, than Pennsylvania. And Scott tweeted these numbers out yesterday. And see, here's the thing. Like, guys like Scott Pressler, the GOP could use about 1,000 more of them. Can we stick him in, like, a cloning booth and just, you know, crank out more Scott Presslers? But, you know, people that actually get things done instead of looking for cameras and microphones. Scott Pressler tweeted this yesterday. These Pennsylvania numbers, in the last 7 days, 1,228 Democrats have flipped to Republican. And he broke it down by county of people flipping blue to red. And I just want to rattle these off to you, because I do think this is interesting and it's a good trend. Allegheny County has seen a flip of 73 registered voters go from D to R. 73 in Allegheny County. Bucks County, 68. Chester County, only 13. Dauphin County, 27. Delaware County, 39. Erie County, 31. Lackawanna, 27. Lancaster, 39. Lehigh County, 51. Luzerne County, 136. Monroe, 16. Montgomery County, 48. My old hometown, Northampton County, only 14. Philadelphia County, 362. Westmoreland County, 24. And York, 37. So when we talk about these swing states, and by the way, Real Clear Politics has posted their latest projections based on all of the aggregate polling that is out there, and they have Trump taking, and I'll just say this right now, I'll make a bet with anybody, or I'll just make a bet for myself. If Donald Trump sweeps the swing states, all seven of them, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, I will get a Trump silhouette tattooed on one of my two butt cheeks. That's how confident I am.
I'm resigning. Nick's getting tattooed.
There's just no shot that Trump. Because here's the thing: when you look at the formula, Trump only needs to take one of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Let's just operate under the assumption that he wins Georgia, which I think he's got a shot. He's definitely going to take North Carolina. Arizona, I feel more confident in than Georgia. Nevada, I feel pretty confident. That would mean if he takes those four from the southeast all the way up through the west coast, he would only need one of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. But this notion and a lot of these polls that everybody is taking the bait on, I just can't see him taking all seven swing states. That would mean that the polls were spot on accurate. And when's the last time the polls have been spot on accurate? They haven't been accurate in 2022. They have not been accurate in 2023. We're going to get to this article from the Federalist coming up next, as this guy who throws some cold water on everybody just getting ready to take a victory lap for a Republican victory. But also the New York Times takes a page out of maybe a right-wing website playbook and points out some of the concerns for Biden. So I do want to get to both. But the real main reason I want to get to this Federalist article is because I don't think you're going to get this on many other shows. Because you're going to get a lot of people throughout the country that work in this format, and they're going to just keep telling you. Like, with all due respect, I like them. I'm friends with them. I swear, if you had looked at Clay Travis's timeline, you would have thought the election was over already. It's unbelievable. And look, you know,
he was very right about the
he's wrong about everything
about the Trump conviction. He was very right about that. So.
Wrong about everything, sports and politics.
Yeah.
And he's my buddy. But like, seriously, I'm going to give you some information that I think coming from a different voice will resonate, and we'll do that on the other side. 855-839-1210. Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two. And then also, there's another story I want to get to. Speaking of getting on a flight, I got to defend this lady. This female was booking a flight on American Airlines, and she flew from Dallas to Philadelphia, and she wore a red MAGA hat. And what she had to endure on the flight, nobody should have to endure. And I got to go to the to bat for this lady. You know, she's probably a Cowboy fan, but you know, she's coming to Philadelphia, and she had a Trump hat on, so she's my gal. And I'm going to defend her before we get to the cut sheet. It's Kale and Company. Hour two is coming up next.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.